Rep from Berkeley.
Marnie Tattersall, listener rep from Marin County. I'm also the treasurer, and I just want to announce that the next KPFA LSB Finance Committee meeting is Saturday, July 2nd at noon, followed by governance at 2 p.m.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Rosalinda Montes Palacios, and I'm the chair, and I'm the listener rep from Oakland. To my right and to your left is David Shapiro, and he is the parliamentarian for this meeting. Welcome, and thank you for helping us today.
Bonnie Simmons, staff rep, Oakland, and the vice chair.
Sherry Gentleman, listener rep, San Francisco.
Sarah Randava, listener rep from El Cerrito, California.
Mark Hernandez, listener rep, Fresno.
Debbie Spear, associate station rep from KFCF, and a quick announcement. KFCF celebrated its 30th year on the air on June the 9th. We couldn't have done it without the assistance, of course, of KPFA, and I suspect over the years, as some of us know, KPFA might not have done it without KFCF either. And everyone is invited tomorrow, if you're up to making a trip to Fresno, to a free concert and barbecue at Roding Park, which is just off Highway 99 in the downtown Fresno area. And everyone's welcome. Hope to see someone there.
Good morning. Roy Campanella, General Manager, KPFA.
Okay. Now, one more.
Willie Radcliffe, listener rep, San Francisco.
Do we have any announcements on our members' absences?
I ask that we excuse Lisa Rothman in that she is on a work-related trip picking up an award that the news department won.
Morning show won.
Pardon?
The morning show won the award.
And I got a call from Eric Park that he's sick and is going to try to make it despite his illness, but may not. And if he is unable to make it, I ask that he be excused. He sounded not great.
Go ahead, Ted.
Yep. Richard Phelps has to attend his daughter's graduation. It's her only graduation, so he wants to be excused.
Max?
Sepide is on her way
okay.
to Iran,
thank
and
you.
She's asked
okay.
to be excused.
Okay. If there's no objections, can we? The excuses are granted. Okay. The next item of the agenda is item number 3, review and approve agenda. Everybody has a copy. Okay. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Reva?
I would like to propose that we allow for the discussion with the public that was agreed to at the last meeting by consensus. I saw it on videotape 2 days ago. And what I would propose is that we extend the public comment period and that part of the public comment period addressing those concerns would allow for LSB members to respond, so it's not just the public speaking.
I second.
Did somebody? Mark?
I'd like to offer a substitute motion to that item. I'd like to offer a substitute motion to that item for the agenda, and the item would be to call for a town hall meeting within 90 days to discuss station issues, including violence, labor relations, and community relations.
Second. Okay, the maker of the first motion, Reva, is that acceptable?
No, I actually don't consider it. I consider
state
that
your motion.
Excuse me. Well, procedurally, and you'll tell me if I'm wrong. I think we need to vote marks up or down. So if we're before we get to mine. Right, it's a substitute, so I don't consider it friendly. Although, if this is the comment part to the substitute motion, I would agree that we should have a town hall meeting, but I don't think that should substitute for what we promised to the public last meeting.
Madam Chair, if I may respond.
Okay, please state your motion again.
My motion is...
Reva.
Oh,
My motion is that we extend the public comment period for 30 minutes to address concerns about violence in the station, and that that portion of public comment would allow for there to be dialogue between LSB and public, rather than public just speaking.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded to allow dialogue between the LSB members and the public. So,
Madam Chair, point of order.
Yeah, point of order.
Point of order is... she's adding a substitute to a substitute of her own motion. That's what it's sounding like at this point.
Okay. Hold on. The main motion is pending. Well, he wants us to get to that substitute motion later. Okay. Hold on, everybody. Put your hands down, Mary.
Point of order.
Hold on. Okay. Mark, you're recognized to make your substitute motion.
The substitute motion is... that the LSB call for a town hall meeting within 90 days to address issues of the station with respect to the issue of workplace violence, labor relations, and relations within the community.
Can I hear the second again? Second the motion. Okay, now it's been moved and seconded. Oh, you finished? I'm sorry.
If I may. The first motion calls for public comment, which we're not allowed to respond to. So it's kind of a sham to say that it's a dialogue between the LSB and the community when public comment is one way at any time. The town hall meeting calls for interaction, where the community has a chance to say, and the LSB has a right to respond as well as the ability to respond.
I've never heard it.
And it's more than 30 minutes or an hour.
Excuse me. Mark, do you wish to continue?
No, I'm finished.
You're finished? Okay. Okay, is there any further discussion?
Point of information.
Brian, please state your point.
I'm just wondering if Mark can clarify who's going to do the work to do the town hall under your motion. Is it given to a committee?
Well, this is for going into the agenda being placed for discussion. It would be more appropriate to make that discussion if and when it's placed on the agenda.
I have another point of information.
Reva?
Mark, could you cite on what basis we do not allow for dialogue with the public when we allow for public comment? That has been asked for before, and I've never seen a cite for why we can't dialogue with the public during public comment, especially in an exceptional circumstance.
Sarv?
Madam Chair, I don't think that's point of information. It's, I think his motion, as stated by Mark, is very clear. And I'll call the question.
Question has been called. Okay. Okay, it's been moved to close debate. Okay, so are we ready? We're ready to vote on Mark's motion, the substitute motion. All those in favor of closing debate, please do so by raising your hand.
Closing debate.
Yes.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12.
Okay, hands up. Those opposed, raise your hand.
One, two, three, four.
Okay, there's 2/3 in the affirmative, and the debate is closed. Okay, we now will move to vote on the substitute motion. And all those in favor of the substitute motion presented by Mark, please do so by raising your hand.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11.
Okay, hands down. Thank you.
Did you have your hand half?
I didn't have my hand up.
12.
Okay, all those opposed, raise your hand.
Two.
Okay. 12 in affirmative. Two. Any abstentions?
Yes, I abstain.
Okay. The substitute is now the main motion.
It now passes. So that's it.
Is there any further discussion on this motion?
That does away with the other.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Brian?
I call the question
Microphone.
On the main motion.
Okay. Brian has called a question on the main motion. Okay. There's... If there's no objection, we'll now vote on the main motion. Okay, all those in favor of the main motion, please do so by raising your left hand.
Excuse me, I apologize for being late.
You're not recognized. Hold on a minute.
But could I find out?
The floor. He might, sir, state your point.
Which, is that the main substituted motion?
It's the main motion as substituted by Mark.
Thank you.
Point of personal privilege, Madam Chair?
Yes, Brian.
Can we have the recording secretary read back the motion we're voting on?
Sure.
Yes.
It's Mark Hernandez's substitute motion, which is now the main motion, to hold a town hall meeting within 90 days to discuss workplace violence, labor relations, and community relations.
Okay, we will now vote on the main motion. All those in favor of the motion, do so by raising your hand. All those opposed? The main motion carries. Okay. Oh, one abstention. Okay. Two abstentions, sorry. Okay. Brian. Okay. We're back to the...
A point of information. I'm sorry. Is that an agenda item? Because Brian's question was, how is that to be done? It seems like that is... If it's a substitute motion for my motion to amend the agenda, that now needs to be added into the agenda. Am I correct?
Okay.
And time sensitive.
Okay.
But this is a new agenda item.
We'll go to item number 2, new business. And I'll put that in 2, Mark's motion, town hall meeting.
Number 2?
Okay. Are there any... Further amendments 13, to, pardon me?
Number 13 is new business.
13, I'm sorry. Item 13, number 2. Okay. Any other amendments to the agenda? Okay, hearing none.
Madam Chair, I did have my hand up.
Mark, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I didn't see you.
I'm sorry. I would like to add an additional item to the agenda. And that would be to provide for a public comment period prior to the adjournment, the executive session.
Can you restate that again? I didn't really hear you.
To add a public comment section prior to the adjournment of the public session as time permits. I realize that we're under a time frame here. And that we are probably going to be shoving a lot more of stuff in here than we really should be doing. However, given the nature of the agenda, I would rather see us have the public comment period split into two parts, one before the agenda items, and if possible, time afterwards to discuss issues before we go into executive session.
Excuse me, who was the second?
I was.
Okay, Gonzalez seconded the motion. Okay, state your point.
Yeah, it's a question. I don't understand, Mark, are you saying that we will have the mandatory 30 minutes public comment and then we will have an additional public comment of some specified time? We can't mandatory 30-minute public comment.
No, I'm not
saying... Can you clarify, please?
I'm not saying to cut the mandatory 30 minutes. What I'm pointing out is that 30 minutes is not often enough time for people to speak. And given the time-sensitive nature of the agenda, the need the LSP to conduct business, which is our primary purpose and goal here, we need to go through the agenda. And if there is time prior to the time to call for an executive session, we should open it up for public comment.
A second time.
Yeah, for a second time, to finish out anything that may have come in, or people who are late.
Okay, there's been a motion to to add a second public
Madam
comment
Chair?
To the agenda, and the motion been seconded.
Madam Chair?
Sir?
I'd like to offer a substitute motion.
Okay.
And that is that when we come to the public comment period, that if we see that we need additional time, that at that time we allocate additional time to that for the public.
Is that acceptable to the maker of the motion? Mark?
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Brian?
Once the motion's been made and seconded, it's the property of the body, not the mover.
That is correct, Madam Chair.
That's correct.
I have a point of order, please.
Okay, so the question is on the substitute motion. Sarv, did you finish making your motion?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I have a point of order. It's been our policy and practice to extend the time as long as needed. In some of the minutes that have been, some of the meetings we've had, it's gone as long as 55 minutes. As many people are signed up, if there's 10 minutes of people, fine. If there's an hour's worth, we do it. So I think that a motion is not required, and I think it's not appropriate. This is our policy and practice, and we'll simply do it.
Joe?
As I understand Mark's motion, the idea is to, it's for the public to comment on discussion by the LSB after the initial public comment on issues that can be anticipated before that happens. So, you know, to extend public comment in the initial period can account for issues that might come up during the deliberation of the LSB after that. So Sal's motion to that extent doesn't make sense. I mean, defeats the purpose, in other words.
Okay.
Because Mark is trying to accommodate what I understand it,
Madam Chair.
Public comment, I mean, for the public to have comment on LSB deliberations after public comment occurs, so that can't be anticipated before it happens.
Okay, the point of order is well taken, and the Chair will rule the motion out of order. Okay, are there any further amendments to the agenda? Brian?
Well, I guess this is a point of order. We haven't voted on the motion yet.
Because I ruled it out of order.
Did you rule Sarv's substitute out of order? Did you rule Mark Hernandez's main motion out of order?
The main motion. Okay, any further amendments to the agenda? If there are no further amendments, the agenda is as approved. Okay, we'll move to the next item. And it's item number four. Item number four is a consent calendar. See page number three. Okay, at the moment, does anybody, would any of the members like to pull any of the items from this the consent calendar? Reva?
I'd like to pull 2, 5, and 6.
Okay.
I've only got a 1, 2, 3.
Oh, I have 2, 5, and 6.
You're looking on the wrong page.
Hold on just a minute.
Page 3 of 4.
She may not have it. Let's wait. Okay, items 2, 5, and 6 have been pulled. Bonnie?
Madam Chair, I'd like to pull item 3.
And Brian would like to pull item number 3. Chandra?
What was last pulled?
Brian asked that item number 3 be pulled. Chandra?
Okay. I want to add the disability access resolution to the consent calendar. It is extremely timely because I would like the LSB to approve that and forward it to the Pacifica National Board meeting. The purpose of the disability access resolution is not just to address disability access issues at KPFA, but throughout the network. And since the PNB is going to be meeting the following weekend, I want this issue to be taken up by the PNB.
Is there any objection to adding the disability access to the agenda? To the consent calendar?
I object.
Okay. Objection is heard. Okay. Are there any other
Madam Chair?
Items to be pulled? Brian?
If I'm able to, I'd like to rescind my objection to item 3. I just took a closer look at it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Item 3 is back on the consent calendar. Okay. Are there any further items to be pulled? Okay.
Madam Chair?
Okay, Bonnie's thinking, and she has her hand up.
Sorry, can I ask a question about two so that I understand what it means?
The item has been pulled.
This means back,
it's been pulled.
Okay,
Sarv, I heard you back here.
I was going to move to approve the agenda as amended.
Okay, are there any objections to approving items 1, 3, and 4 on the consent calendar? Hearing none? Okay, those three items are approved, and a motion is made to accept the agenda.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Brian?
Accept the consent calendar, not the agenda.
The consent calendar. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Item number 5, review and approve the minutes from March 19th, May 4th, May 5th, and May 21st. Okay. And we have all of those already. Okay. So we'll go with March 19th first.
I'm going to speak briefly to the where there was a copy machine failure, and so I did not have copies to distribute to the board. Some people wrote and said they didn't need them. They were sent out at email, and I really hope we could approve them, these minutes, because we don't even know what's happened. And it is possible that if some error were found, we could bring it up again at a future meeting and correct them, and they will be so corrected on the website. But for now, at least approval will mean that we can post them on the website. So I really hope we could do that.
Are there any corrections to the March 19th minutes? If not, the March 19th minutes are approved. Are there any corrections or changes to the May 4th minutes?
April
17th. Oh, April 17th, sorry. God, they're all together. It's hard to figure out which one's what. Okay. Okay. Okay, with no corrections, the 4:17 minutes are approved. Any corrections to the May 21st? 5 and 5. What is that? 505. That says 5 and 5. Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved. Okay, now the minutes for 5:21. Okay, the minutes are approved. We'll move on to the item number 6, which is a general manager's report. And please, we have 10 minutes. So if you can be brief, because there might be a couple of questions, we'll try to get through this within the 10 minutes. Roy Campanella will give the general manager report.
Once again, good morning. I'd like to cover three main areas: the spring fund drive results, FCC renewal process, and Comcast. A week ago, I emailed this report to you. I hope that many of you have received it. If you haven't, I do have copies that we can pass around.
Okay, you could do that now. We could do that now.
Okay, let me just dive right in and try to make this brief. The total of $1,021,430.57 as the pledges for our spring fund drive needs to be adjusted. We received a major donation of $30,000 during our fund drive, and when you take out that donation, you arrive at $994,580.07. Our development director and myself agree that we will add to that total $5,490.93 to give us an exact $1 million pledge total for the spring fund drive. The remaining amount will be added to our major donations category in our financial statements. I'm very happy to report that 2,386 new subscribers joined us, and that 26% of all pledges were new pledges, and I think that's a very healthy number. Are there any questions regarding the Spring Fund Drive?
Ted? Have a total of the number of subscribers now?
Ted?
I don't have that in this particular report. I'm imagining that ballpark, it is now approximately 27,000. The FCC renewal process began June 1st, and in terms of our involvement in both pre-filing announcements, electronically filing certain forms, and post-filing announcements, our end of the deal will basically end on October 16th. So we will be engaged in a process lasting from June 1st to October 16th. The pre-filing announcements began on June 1st, and they will air every month until August 1st, on the 1st and 16th of each month. The post-filing announcements will then begin on August 1st and air on the 1st and 16th of every month, ending October 16th. You probably now have this in front of you, and you might have already read over the FCC renewal process. Do I have any questions on that?
I have a fund drive question.
Brian, you can speak.
My apologies, Madam Chair. I have a fund drive question. I'm sorry to backtrack.
Oh,
I didn't get
okay.
My hand up fast enough. I'm curious, in the original budget for this fiscal year, what goal was anticipated for the fund drive? I know we adjust them on the fly based on the organization's needs, but I'm curious what the original goal was.
The original goal was approximately $975,000. Okay. Can I move on then if there's no questions on the FCC renewal process? Comcast poses a major threat to our listener base, especially in Marin and other areas of the North Bay because of topography, dislocations. You know, it's easier for individuals to pick up their signal via cable as opposed to radio waves. We are part of a coalition of listener activist groups such as Media Action Marin and non-commercial public radio stations who are continuing to explore possible ways to convince Comcast to rescind their current position of not carrying FM non-commercial radio signals. We had a meeting on May 4th that our chief engineer, Michael Yoshida, attended. That meeting basically put into the Comcast court the challenge for them to come up with a reasonable, viable alternative. We were supposed to have a meeting on June 1st. That was postponed. I'd like to urge and encourage each board member to participate in this effort. The cost to the station in terms of satisfying our listener base and in terms of revenues derived from the Marin area in particular would be very significant, profoundly significant, if we lose that signal carriage. We could possibly end up losing between $400,000 to $650,000 a year, and I think all of you recognize that that would be extremely significant. At a time when we face critical financial issues, we must do everything possible to prevent such a significant loss to our annual revenue stream. Any questions regarding the Comcast situation?
I'd just like to point out that
wait till I recognize you.
Oh,
okay?
Sorry.
Thank you. Okay, you're recognized.
I just want to add that the Comcast serves San Francisco, and until 3 years ago, they used to carry KPFA as well, and they canceled that when they changed their allocations, and I was very unhappy about that.
Okay, I would like to open this up to any general questions, and I will say that I'll make every effort to, in the future, just as I did this month, get you the general manager's report a week ahead of the LSB meeting.
Okay. Any questions, Max, and then Brian?
I have a question for the GM. We had a discussion in the financial committee meeting, and this was not the financial committee meeting, I'm sorry, the governance committee meeting, and this was included in the consent calendar. I'm referring specifically to your recommendation to the effect that we archive the sessions of the LSB, but that we exclude the public comments. I would like to understand where you're coming from when you made that recommendation.
All of my reservations revolve around the issue of liability and any type of personal attack. If it's occurring, you know, it could liable the station to certain charges.
But can I make a quick comment? It seems to me that by virtue of the fact that the meetings are public in any way, the whole thing is moot. I mean, the meeting is taking place right now. If there are liable issues arising from the meeting, there will be arising out of it no matter what we do with the broadcast. It seems to me. I mean, this is in the public domain what's happening right now.
I think to
exclude that, it doesn't make sense to me. That's my comment.
Yeah, you asked me a question about a comment that I made prior to the broadcasting of the meetings. That position was actually stated, I would say, at least maybe a month and a half to 2 months ago. So.
Okay, Brian, and then Reva, and then Joe.
Just a quick thing on Max's remark. To prove a libel charge, you have to show publication. And then liability accrues to the publisher. So that's a separate liability from what we have from just having a public meeting, particularly if it's broadcast from a third party. On the Comcast question, I'm wondering if there's been any effort to promote our online streaming and archive to the members in our signal range who may have lost their access through Comcast and not know there are alternative means to get KPFA.
That's a very good point, and I'm going to take that up with Lisa Ballard, our webmistress. Also, we're looking into podcasting and, you know, other alternatives.
Reva?
I have four questions. Two are follow-up from last meeting. One is I asked at the last meeting, can we see a list of all consultants, their companies, and what they are paid? And you said we could see that list, and I want to know if you have it, and if not, when we can see it. The second question I asked last time was, can you list any lawsuits currently pending against KPFA and any legal expenses we have paid in the past year? You said we could see that, and we have a new lawsuit, and I'd like you to respond to what the financial implications are of that. The third question, which is new to you but not new coming from me, is what is the station doing about webcasting? That is an obligation, I believe, that we have promised the public. And along the lines of what Max said, the few times they were webcast, it includes public comment. So I'd like to address that issue as well. And then the fourth question and last is what's happening about the budget with staff being over budget and our layoffs being looked at? Thanks.
Point of information, please. I'm the treasurer. The treasurer
please
will
state
deal
your point, Marnie.
The treasurer will deal with the issue of displaying information about the consultants.
Madam Chair.
Okay, just a minute. We're already
well, actually,
past.
Can I have a follow-up question to that? Because I have a follow-up question to that.
Madam
okay,
Chair.
Just let hold on just a minute. Let everybody know that we've already reached the 10-minute time, so that we're now at 11 minutes. Do we want to extend the time on this report?
Madam Chair.
Is there any objection to extending time to continue with the minute?
Yes.
There's objection. Objection is heard. Okay, the next item on the agenda then is...
Point of order,
thank
Madam
you.
Chair.
Can I?
Our times are advisory only. It takes a majority vote of the body to move the agenda.
Okay.
Could
the
I
point
suggest-
is well taken, then?
So, I was just going to make a suggestion.
Manager.
Okay, state your suggestion.
Yeah, the 4 points that you asked me about last week, I thought possibly we would have time between meetings to really deal with that. I'm very open to dealing with each one, and I was just going to suggest that after the meeting, say on Monday, please get in touch with me, and then we'll get the answers to these questions and share that with the rest of the board.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Shall we proceed to the next item on the agenda?
No.
Okay, that'll take a two-thirds vote. So, Brian and then Reba.
I move the agenda.
Oh, take it to a vote. Okay. Okay.
I second.
So, all those in favor, please do so by raising your hand.
Favor moving the agenda?
Proceeding to item number 7, which would be the public comment. Please do so by raising your hand. Okay. Those opposed, raise your hand.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, please. Thank you. Hands down. All those abstaining? Okay. Two-thirds. We did not get the two-thirds, so we'll stay on with this.
Which means that Roy can still answer some of the questions, and Marnie had chimed in, so I'd like a follow-up to that. So that means we're still on the general manager's report. Am I correct? And I had asked some questions. So,
point of order, Madam Chair. Reva hasn't been recognized.
Sorry.
Okay. Reva and then Willie. No, it was not 9-3. Okay, can you please restate the numbers? Restate the numbers. I don't know what they are. Can you restate the numbers?
9.
Yes, 9.
4. 6. Yes. 1.
7. 6, no, and 1 abstention.
Okay. Okay. 9 in the affirmative, 6 in the negative. Okay, Reva had her hand up.
Well, my feeling is the ball is still in your court, which I appreciate. But the public is here, so it would be helpful if you could respond to as many of the questions in public as opposed to some of us talking to you on Monday. And again, it's staffing over budget, webcasting, and lawsuits.
I jotted down your note. In terms of consultants, like I said last month, that list is really based on information that I would get from our business manager, Lois Withers, and I'm more than happy to go over that when I get the list. I do not have offhand a recollection of any consulting relationship that goes, say, from the general manager's office to an individual. Individuals like Doug Kiefer, who do handyman tasks at the station, might very well fall under a consultant's category in terms of the budget. So I really would, there are a lot of line items in the budget, and I'd like to really look at that. In terms of lawsuits, once again, I don't have offhand a financial analysis of what the existing cost is, because we have not had ongoing any lawsuit during my period of time at the station, and the financial implications of this current lawsuit have not been calculated yet.
I have a question. You answered your question?
No, there were two more.
If I could just briefly go through
briefly
the other two. Webcasting, we have noted that we need, actually, it is a cost, and we have to really determine how that's going to be carried given the kind of budget constraint that we currently have. And I will, you know, once again talk with our webmistress about that. In terms of the constraints that we have and the options that we're going to be employing regarding the budget, as I've mentioned in the past, we have to reduce expenses We certainly have to look to ways to increase revenues. That's why I mentioned the Comcast situation, which is extremely important. And in terms of particular personnel matters, it wouldn't be wise to publicly state exactly what course of action we're going to take until it's been thoroughly explored within the organization. There are a number of options that we would like to put into place, but it needs to be discussed and analyzed and a consensus developed in terms of the implementation or the choice of those options.
Okay, I have a concern. I read in an email that you sent out about a programming that you were doing with a couple of three individuals, and I received some information that really concerns me, and it is regarding the content of information, and I seem to be a little concerned about it because the information that I have here, this magazine called The Booty Crack, and you're negotiating with some individuals to put this type of content on the air.
Point of order, Madam
I really
Chair.
Oppose it. So,
if state we're discussing if we're discussing personnel issues, they should be discussed in executive session.
I will.
Well,
bring that up.
I can well say publicly, we're not negotiating with anyone to put that kind of content on the air. That's an absolute fallacy. I mean, and I sent out a memo last night which clarifies that. This entire KPFB experimental project is in a very early and formative stage. The composition of the group hasn't even been determined yet. The mission statement hasn't been drafted yet. You know, all of the particulars. I hope you saw my memo which from last night, which clarifies all of this. And yes, it is a personnel matter, I guess, but, in a way, it isn't even a personnel matter because the individual isn't personnel. I mean, and it's going to be a volunteer effort, and this is a way to bring fresh voices of color to the air. That's what this is about, and it's... I know you're pressed for time, but I will just succinctly add that I'm a little saddened that a station, listener-sponsored, community-based, and so dedicated to the Pacifica mission would think, one, that we would be dealing with a subject like that you mentioned, and two, that the effort to be more inclusive, to provide a voice for the voiceless over our airwaves would be maligned in a manner that some individuals have chosen to do.
Thank you, and I wanted that stated in public. And if this continues to come up, I will continue to circulate this so that people have an understanding of what really is behind this. Okay, Joe, and then Attila.
Hi, Roy. In a sense,
excuse me, and then LaVarne.
Yeah, this is probably mainly a reminder, Roy. And the nature of it is something that I shouldn't be needing to ask this question. I think, but it has to do with it. It has to do with the community advisory board. The last minute, I asked you to look into that and report to us, you know, whether it's met, when it's meeting. I think members of the public need to know that. I'm sure most people don't even know the community advisory board exists. It's important to know that it really does serve the purpose of the old local advisory boards. It is an important vehicle for community input into the station. The last time, the only announcement that's been made about their meeting was on the air during an LSB meeting. But it needs to be on the website. It needs to be sent out, you know, by different vectors. And it's a very important issue in terms of the philosophy of KPFA and Pacifica for community involvement. But what makes it very important and problematic is that it's only being done after, 2 years because of community for public broadcasting requirements, which we need to be very wary of. So in general, I just need an update on that.
Well, after the last meeting, early in that week, I did call Sakura Saunders, the point person for our community advisory board, and I gave her the guidelines once again. She's basically responsible for pulling together those meetings. I reminded her of the process of notification for the public and for board members. And really the ball is in their court. I'm not the, I don't oversee the community advisory board as, you know, as such. I certainly am encouraging them to schedule their next meeting and make sure that the public and the board is made aware of it. And I, you know, I'll definitely reiterate that.
Attila, LaVarne, then Brian.
Okay, just about KPFB, I agree that there needs to be a venue for people of color and youth of color, especially, you know, there's a new generation coming up and we're leaving soon, you know, the reality. But I am concerned about the mission that it concur with the Pacifica mission.
Well, that's one of the prerequisites for getting involved with this B experimental project. And I'm sure that their mission statement will reflect the Pacifica.
Thank you.
Mission.
LaVarne, then Chandra. Excuse me. I didn't.
After LaVarne.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good morning, afternoon. Just want to, I know Marnie has this printout for the budget, but just wanted to confirm with you, Roy, and when we're talking about the budget for 2006, that have you, like, considered in terms, I know we've talked about this before, but just want to point that there are programs that are on the air now that are successful, they're hosted by volunteers, and just want to know what level of support do you plan to give those programs to keep them, keep the quality of the program in there, and in terms of supporting those hosts that are volunteers, and that many of those hosts are very, very successful in terms of fundraising, although that's not the entire thing that we would really depend on in terms of programming, but they are. So just want to know, you know, what is your position on that, and how do you plan to handle that in the 06 budget? Thank you.
Well, it's actually by nature an ad hoc approach. It really depends on the volunteer radio programmer and what their needs are. Most of our radio programmers actually are self-sufficient, and you know, they bring either their music or their contacts. In terms of conducting interviews, they certainly utilize our particular resource base at the station. There really isn't a set paradigm for volunteer radio programmers in terms of the resources that they would each receive. It really is by necessity, and certainly when I'm approached, I'm very open to discussing with them ways that they can either get the resources from the station or from third parties.
Okay, Brian, then Chandra's next. Is there anyone else that would like to be on the stack? Okay.
Back to Joe's question on the Community Advisory Board. I think it's really nice to give the board a lot of independence and autonomy, but we have to realize that the buck stops here. I mean, you acting as our agent have to make sure the board meets the requirements of meeting regularly and publicly noticing those meetings, or the station stands to lose a substantial amount of its CPB funding. So I don't know what the specifics of the situation are, but to say the ball's in their courts is like an abdication of our responsibilities.
Well, when I said the ball's in their court, it's that out of respect to them and their particular expertise, I wanted to give them 2 or 3 weeks to kind of, so to speak, get their act together and plan a series of meetings. It wouldn't be staying in their court for any length of time that would jeopardize our particular position.
I'd like to speak on that. I think I can speak with Sakura and ask her to make sure she knows radio, that she starts putting the announcements on the website and announcing them on the air. I'll make sure I do that. I did attend the last meeting. Roy wasn't able to make that meeting, so I will make sure that I get that message to them. So that will happen for their next meeting, and I've been receiving their emails with the minutes and the announcement for their next meeting, so I'll make sure that that happens. Okay. Chandra, you're next.
Roy, I applaud you for working with the young people of color and helping them to develop a program or programming for KPFB or A, whatever the case may be. But I would also like your verbal assurance here at the meeting that any program proposal, when it is ready to be submitted, when it is complete, after it's been fully developed, will go before the program council as the duly elected body to make decision on programming for KPFA as well as KPFB. And then after you answer that, when your report is over, I have a motion to introduce.
Okay, we have so far, hold on just a minute. We're 27 minutes over our 10-minute time for this. So what is the purview of the body? Sarv?
Madam Chair.
We're in the middle of a question, Madam Chair. Can we get an answer first before we make any decisions?
Brief, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, I certainly hear your concerns, and the basic procedure will be followed. In the program council will certainly be able to play its role.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, with no further questions, then we'll go to item number 7.
I have
which
a motion.
I
have a motion that I asked to.
Okay, the motion is not in order at this time.
I appeal the ruling of the chair.
Would you like to put it on new business?
No, I would like to carry it over from last month's meeting.
Point of order, I haven't heard a ruling of the chair.
She ruled it out of order, Mayor.
Okay, state your motion.
Okay. I ask the local station board to approve a resolution passed by the unpaid staff organization to protest the use of violence at KPFA to solve differences or for any other reasons. And they further state, we are opposed to any hostile workplace environment, and we call on the station manager to provide a work environment free of all forms of violence. I ask the local station board to ratify the motion approved by the unpaid staff organization, the majority of staff working at KPFA.
Okay, well, we're going to put that item under new business. Okay, let's move to item number 7, public comment. So can you please read who is the first person to sign up for public comment? I don't have that list.
Jim Weber,
can you please come? Can I? Can I have the list?
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Hold on just a minute. Brian?
What will the time limit be?
Okay.
Eric?
What is our time?
Mike, there, could you put it in the stand?
Per speaker.
Okay, we're going to allot 2 minutes per each speaker, and Bonnie will hold up 2 signs. One sign, which will give you 30 seconds, meaning you have 30 seconds left, and then the next sign will be your time up, and then I will call on the next speaker.
I have another point of information real quickly.
Ariva?
It's repeating the one that I asked earlier, which is, can anybody cite anything in writing to preclude the LSB from responding to the public when they speak? Is there anything that anybody can cite, or is that just rumor?
Mark, can you please answer her? Ariva?
I can point out all of Ariva Entine's chairmanship, in which he indicated to the public that we were not to respond in public comment.
I was told that was a fact, and I've since found out it doesn't exist.
Thank you, Mark. Okay, the chair.
One point, Madam Chair. In the bylaws, it indicates the public comment period is for the public. It's not for the LSB. It's not for the PNB. It's for the public.
Okay. I will rule then that we will continue to hear comments from the public and that the board members will not respond. Okay, thank you. So Jim Weber, Tanya Brannon, Annie Hott, and then Steve Seltzer.
I want to respond to what you just said because I believe that the tradition of a 2-minute public comment is a fake tradition created to create the illusion of a democratic process when there is nothing democratic about a one-way communication where the public cannot dialogue with anybody on here about what's happening. And in that regard, I'd like to raise a question about the motion that was made to have a public,
town hall,
where you can deal with real issues that the listeners would be interested in and have some exchange between the listeners and the board and anybody else is there. That sounds democratic. And I think anything done to eliminate that is a conscious effort to make this an undemocratic process. And I'd like somebody to answer me why that motion didn't get carried on and voted on. Why was it dropped? Why is it taken out of order when it's the most logical thing I've heard here yet today, to get the public involved with the people on the station and the people on the board?
Thank you. Tanya Brennan?
As you know, Solange Echevarria left KPFA recently amidst vivid descriptions of abusive behavior by Dennis Bernstein. Solange is just the most recent of a long line of high-quality female journalists to be forced off flashpoints. Like many before her, Noelle Hanrahan, too, reported harassing and discriminatory behavior by Bernstein. She has persisted in her demands for redress and refuses to be silent. Like many whistleblowers, Noelle found the station's investigation of the discrimination was a cover-up and, in fact, an investigation of her, not the harassment. The retaliation has been swift, vicious, and continues to this day. A similar campaign against Solange has already begun. KPFA's handling of complaints of discrimination is as ugly as that by any corporate Neanderthal. Retaliating against women who file complaints is not just despicable, it's illegal. That this takes place amidst escalating male violence at KPFA only increases the hostile environment for women. That the new general manager himself has numerous complaints of harassing and violent behavior against him ensures only more of the same. As women's rights activists, Purple Berets are appalled to find this level of discrimination at KPFA. We call on you to act now to make the changes that must be made to stem the loss of women's voices from the airwaves. One, immediately launch a search for a new general manager. Target the search to attract women applicants. Two, fire Dennis Bernstein. Whatever idea that you may have that he raises more money than he costs will prove to be incorrect. Three, reinstate Solange Echevarria and Noelle Hanrahan to flashpoints. Four, establish an ombudsperson position staffed by someone from outside the station who receives and investigates complaints of gender and racial discrimination. Five, hire an outside professional to do an in-depth organizational assessment of the station emphasizing gender and racial issues. Purple Berets are committed to putting an end to KPFA's discrimination against women, whatever it takes.
Thank you. Did you give that to us in writing?
I'd be happy to.
Okay, thank you. Okay, our next speaker is Annie Haught.
Hi, my name's Annie Haught. I live in Petaluma. I'm a longtime listener, and I've been working with the Purple Berets for 12 years now. And I personally thought when the women started having the program at Flashpoints, when you heard more from Solange and more from Nora, I thought it was a better program. I think Dennis Bernstein needs to be fired. I don't like the fact that women don't feel safe at the station, and Noelle isn't the only person. So I would definitely like to see him fired, and I would like to see Mr. Campanella dismissed as well. Thank you.
Our next speaker is Steve Seltzer. And then after Steve, we'll go Noel, and then Barbara. Sorry about that. Couldn't read the writing. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I want to, first of all, express some concern about how you handle the discussion here. Board of Supervisors, different boards of many agencies, nonprofits, city agencies, when somebody testifies or gives public comment, it's always available for a member of the Board of Supervisors or a member of the board to ask questions, to comment, clarification. That's always possible. It seems the rigidity of this board, whoever did it, is wrong. If there's a confusion or question, I think it makes things better if a board member can ask about it. So I think that this exemplifies the, I think, systemic problem of this board dealing with issues. Unfortunately, the last week has seen a whole series of articles about the inner workings and the problems and trauma that KPFA is going in. And I'm very concerned about that because what it represents to me is there's systemic problems that have been covered over by the management and also by the Pacific Foundation management. And the problem for the listeners and supporters of KPFA is these things may harm people that have already been talked about the harm that they have, but may cost millions of dollars. And people here seem to be oblivious to that, that it's going to be the community and the supporters of KPFA who have to pay for these costs. It's like, well, it's just another lawsuit. No, it isn't just another lawsuit. People have to pay for these things. And there seems to be a lack of concern, business as usual, about what's going on at KPFA in Pacifica. Lastly, I'd like to say there's a Pacifica National Board meeting. Is there any information about it? Is there any agenda on it? Is there any presentation made? No, we see nothing. What kind of operation is running here? I understand also, and there'll be a report, that some board members went to Dan Coughlin, who's not supposed to be there, to see the financial records. They were blocked physically from seeing the records. This board has a responsibility as a leadership and the representatives of the station to stand up to this, to say it has to stop. And your silence is complicity. Thank you.
Thank you. Fadi, I think there's a chair right here between Deb and if you'd like to sit there. Okay. And then we have next Noel Hanrahan. Excuse me, I can't say it.
That's all right.
Hanrahan. And then Barbara, and then Bob English.
My name is Noel Hanrahan. And I really just wanted to come to speak to you today because my relationships with the community of people who work at the station in KPFA are really deeply important to me. And over the last, I was in the second apprenticeship program in 1989, and I've worked in various capacities at the radio station on the program council, and I've really devoted a lot of my energies to producing radio for KPFA and being part of the community. And one of my deepest regrets of over the last number of years is the way in which my personal relationships with the people that I so care about and that I really want to have a warm community relationship with have been challenged and damaged, and my reputation and my ability to work with you all has been lessened. I've been physically banned from the station since March of 2002 for trying to exercise my human dignity of having a complaint of gender and sexual harassment heard. And I've tried to do every possible mechanism to get that, to reintegrate into the community, to be part of the community, to pull in the same way that you pull for this station. And even though I've been banned, I still produce radio for this station. I still produce cutting-edge radio broadcasts that are in the strongest tradition of Pacifica radio, and I will continue to do that, whether I'm able to walk through those front doors and talk to you or not. I will continue to do that. The work that I'm trying to do right now is so that more women can be heard at the station and so that people who work there will feel safe. That is why that I appear to be in conflict with you, but let me tell you, I'm on the same page. I am working for the people in the station, and I'm working for all of our voices to be heard, and I would be more than happy to produce any kind of programming that makes Pacifica be what it should be. Thank you. And I can't wait to rejoin you.
Oh, thank you very much. Barbara? Good afternoon. My name is Barbara Sykes. I'm from Marin County. I was a part of the support KPFA group that started when we were having the strikes and closures, etc. And I come today as part of that group to extend support to Roy Capanella, the general manager. He has visited us, and he has been a part of a program
where he described what he was trying to do in his philosophy, and I hope that we can have patience and begin to underscore some of the positive things rather than all the negative that we hear that is happening in River City, KPFA. We have a lot of conflict resolution, mediation people in Marin, and I wish that you would please call upon us to help you through all your violence and conflict. It is really kind of unhealthy to hear this ranting at each other. The third thing I'd like to say is that we're very active as the Media Action Marin group. Peter Frank, whom you all know, heads that group up, along with Tika Lyons, who's been in the she's been involved with Comcast in trying to straighten out that corporation for 6 years. And we have involved the state Senate. Megden is weighing in with us to try to, and we appreciate the help from your engineers. I think that that brought a lot of clarity over in Marin as to what they want on their bandwaves. I guess that's what you call them, bands. So anyway, we're all trying to help you, and call upon us anytime.
Thank you, Barbara. Bob English, then Stan Woods, then Steve Kessler, then Gerald Saunders.
Hello. Because there was some misunderstanding about the nature and intent of the listener protest at the last meeting before you adjourned for executive session, I sent a letter to all of the board members through the LSB website. I wanted to explain publicly to Max and to the other listener representatives that this protest was in no way directed to those of you who were sincerely trying to represent the listeners and who tried to bring up the issue that we bought last time, when it's become abundantly clear why we had to bring that issue before the LSB. And the protest was directed to your refusal to take any of the board majority to take any action or even comment or even discuss a motion on the subject. Since then, we see, besides the comments here today, we see a lawsuit filed. We see a letter arriving to the LSB from one of the victims of the complaint, of the incidents that we included in the statement, as well as the negative press coverage. So it's good that you're finally agreeing to take it up today in the form of a town hall meeting agenda item. However, I'm still concerned that at this meeting, this is for a future date, I'm still concerned that at this meeting you made a commitment to have a full discussion of the subject. Yes, you did. Okay? And so you need to talk about it and adopt some kind of, understand its nature and adopt some kind of minimal statement. At last meeting, I submitted a community statement on violence. I'm not sure if I asked for that to be included in the record of the last meeting. I'm doing that now. That statement will be revised for the PNB meeting and will be given to you again in another form. One other thing, and I guess I don't have much time, I am a member of Local 790 SEIU, which is having their membership convention here in Berkeley today, and I'm sure most of you would rather that I was there, and I will be going there later. One thing I wanted to mention, I am on a similar type of representative board at that body, and I've introduced a motion there that has been passed to support additional labor programming on KPFA with a donation. I'll report to you next time on the results of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Stan? Stanwood.
Hi, I'm Stan Woods, listener community rep in the program council. I'd like to talk just briefly about the whole issue of quote-unquote confidentiality, executive sessions, in general, the whole veil of secrecy that unfortunately exists far too much throughout KPFA and Pacifica. As been previously noted, we've had five articles or parts of columns dealing with the whole situation at KPFA in the last 2 weeks. I understand in a prominent Bay Area weekly, there's going to be another article in the near future. There's also strong rumors of a national left publication having an article, extensive article, on the whole situation in Pacifica, the first one in several years that they've done. You know, I understand the natural human desire and certainly the organizational / bureaucratic desire to suppress scandals, to suppress unfavorable information or contentious issues. But it doesn't work. It always comes out, and by keeping the listeners ignorant, at least somewhat ignorant, about what's going on when controversies, I'm not talking about nitpicking controversies, but real controversies at the station, the rumors are always much worse than the reality. I feel our listeners need to know what's going on. They need to know when somebody is quote-unquote fired for a real issue, rather than just sounding like they would at KGO or KCBS or whatever, we wish them well in their further endeavors, and that's all the listeners hear. When there's hundreds of listeners who hear the real story of why they're leaving, that is not the type of station and network KPFA and Pacifica is supposed to be. We come out of the left. Some people disagree with that, but we've been the voice of progressive social change. We deserve, just as members of a union deserve to know what's going on in their union, what accusations may be directed against union leaders, I feel that we need to do it. And one way that you guys could really make a start towards transparency is greatly reduce the number of quote-unquote executive sessions. Last year, for example, there was an executive session over an accusation one board member made against another board member. It was justified on the grounds of, well, it was a personnel issue. Elected official is not personnel. Please open up, because otherwise the sleazy tabloids and other publications that aren't friendly to our mission will. Thank you.
Thank you, Stan. Steve Kessler, then Gerald Saunders.
Hi. Three points I wanted to make. It seems to me there's an inherent tension that will always be going on, and it's maybe at a different level now than it will be in the future, and that is sort of the internal process, how our debates and our struggles get dealt with relative to the station, the listeners, rather than listener members who are involved, versus our public sort of movement building, external, if you will, goals about developing a movement for media democracy and having a much larger reach to fulfill KPFA's potential. So there's always, I think, going to be a tension and sometimes a conflict there, and I think we need to keep that in mind. I wanted to mention something about KPFB. Now, I speak from some ignorance, I'm afraid, about the reach of the broadcast range and who it's available to and where, how much is available and will be potentially available given new technologies. One thing I would like the station to do is to consider developing something like a school on the air. We have a huge immigrant population and a lot of folks who really could use some help in terms of workers' rights, their rights as immigrants, we could have more esoteric issues, but actually have courses. And, you know, in a certain sense, if you look, I should say when I dropped out of college the first few times, KPFA really was a lot of the way I got educated, for good, bad, or worse. thank you. And finally, on the issue of conflicts within the station amongst people that have gotten out of hand, the brother who spoke from 790, I believe, could be informative about employee assistance programs where the union... I'll stop there.
Thank you. Gerald Saunders? Okay, you have another list? Okay. Okay, I can't, I don't know who's on your list.
Here's Gerald.
Okay.
He didn't even sign in, somebody else. You're on microphone.
Yes, there was a conference on media reform, and at that conference, they made very clear something that many of us already knew, and that is that the Bush administration had began to transform the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. We all knew this would be a problem, and now we're really confronted with a concerted right-wing attempt to change public radio. As we all know, KPFA gets some of these funds, and the North Bay folks were saying that these funds need to be tracked. They need to be watched. People need to know what the money is being used for. In the past, now here we are right now, this is the LSB. A lot of people don't know how this money is used on the LSB. Well, that's part of your job, is to know how that money is being used so that we can know if we're being censored, because they certainly are attacking, you know, NPR and other programs like that. Now, the other thing is, we have a national board meeting next week, and it's probably one of the most important ones for Pacifica in a long time, because we're talking about what are we going to do about our leadership problem. And one of the most important things, I think, is that we not have this musical chairs thing going on. We have delegates who are going to be representing us. We need to talk to these people. We do not want to see a repeat of what we have had now for the last 5 years. It's time for a new beginning for Pacifica, and that means a leadership that's not made of local hacks, but actually we look for a person that has a proven record of supporting the mission of Pacifica. That's not so hard to do. We simply have to be well focused in order to carry this out, so we don't wind up with the mutual back scratching and the musical chairs. Thank you.
Our next speaker is Virginia. Followed by Lisa, Michael, then Norm.
First, I just want to thank everybody for caring enough to volunteer to be on this board and help KPFA to survive. Obviously, it's very upsetting, the stuff in the media about the lawsuits and everything else. The way it's so far, it's a lot better today than it has been recently. It's hard to understand when you do things like just rule things out of order without giving a very short explanation as why. It sounds hostile, even still, even though there's at least you don't all sound like you're at each other's throats. I want to believe that people like William Walker, who didn't want to hear the guy vote when he was just standing out of his chair, that none of you are against KPFA. I want to believe that, so thank you. Gendelman, you know, maybe you think it's wrong to have listener board members, but it's here now. People aren't bad people. It's an experiment. They're doing the best we can. We're just listeners trying to make it work. So all you guys that are at each other's throats here, it looks terrible in public. It looks stupid. And we love KPFA, so anyway, I almost didn't speak. I hope this stuff gets resolved without lawsuits. If you went through months and months of true negotiation, like the conflict resolution person in Marin was suggesting, I don't know, you know, you need a lot of it. You really do need to make use of that kind of stuff. Thanks.
Lisa?
Hi, my name's Lisa. I'm an apprentice and also working with the women's program, which is why I haven't had time to come to all these meetings. But I just wanted to talk really briefly. I'm a little tired, so please endure if I'm a little disorganized. But I just want to say that there are a lot of people who are saying there's violence going on at KPFA. There's a lot of people attacking this person, that person. And I just want to tell everybody to really look in the mirror. Because, you know, some of these same people who are complaining about violence at KPFA are some of the people who are doing underhanded and deceptive things, such as putting out flyers about people making statements that are not necessarily true without even trying to talk to the people involved. You know, we talk a lot about the real story and having the truth as the left. Well, I'd like to say that's a really white male paradigm. I'm sorry, you don't own the truth. You don't possess the truth. There are many truths. There's more than one. And there's many sides. That doesn't mean that there aren't things that are better, worse. That's not a relativistic statement. But, you know, I really think everybody here really needs to look in the mirror and see what they're doing to contribute to this problem. Othering, you know, maybe if we had more women's program, we'd have more discussion about this, because this is one of the fundamentals of feminism, to talk about the concept of othering and how you other people based on that which you deny in yourself. So, you know, I would like for those people who are putting out flyers about the women's program to actually maybe try to talk to us instead of putting out flyers making statements how we're not democratic and we're not this, because, you know, that's kind of like 1984. You know, the revolution will be come in the terms of the claim that they are democratic. I'm sorry. That's not necessarily the truth.
Thank you, Lisa. Michael Letty is next, followed by Norm.
My name is Mike Letty. I'm from Richmond, California. And things that I'm hearing are pretty distressing. Now, on the one hand, I have quite a bit of respect for Dennett Bernstein. Hmm? You're not hearing? Okay. Is that better? You know, I'm distressed about the things I've been hearing. On the one hand, I have a lot of respect for Dennis Bernstein and a lot of the work that he does around Palestinian occupation. On the other hand, Noelle Hanrahan, her programming with Mumia Abu-Jamal's comments, I have respect for that. So I don't understand what the problem is here. We've got too many other problems on the outside that we need to fight. Right now, I'm aware of the fact that Roy has been recently hired in. Roy Campanella has been hired in as a GM, and just more recently than that, just before that, Gus Newport, who had worked, you know, on your behalf, no longer is with the station. And I'm starting to see a pattern here that I don't like. I don't understand it. If a person is going to be in charge, and if the board has voted him in, give him a chance to do his work. If not, I think this is one of the issues where a town meeting might come in handy. We will have a chance to discuss this and just air these issues out. There are a lot of constituencies here I don't understand, and I really don't want to understand them at this point. I want to see us get through this. Another thing, as you've heard me say before, I'd like to see more African-centric programming in the line of what Barry Scott had on his Secrets Out. And I had other comments, but I'm going to I have one other issue that I want to raise. Service issues. I've called Waylon, who's in charge of the Hard Knock radio program, four occasions to try to get a recording. I never got a response from him. I also called Dennis Bernstein's program to try to get some information. Now, albeit I called the board op, but the guy on there was very rude. He didn't even bother to give me information about where I should be calling, and just hung the phone up on me. If we're supposed to be a community radio station, we need to have people on board that respect the listeners that call in.
Thank you. Norm?
Hi, Norman Carlin with Marin County, Media Action Marin. I want to thank KPFA and Roy Campanella for all of your help in trying to get FM back on the cable band. We really appreciate your help, and we hope that we can continue on to achieve that goal, because there's another goal, and that is to, you know, to get KPFA back on, to get FM back on so that KPFA can be back on the air in Marin County, and to start reaching more subscribers in Marin. And I would like to say I'm part of one of the more active members, one of the active members in Marin County on the left. And I think that we would be very happy to be able to cooperate with KPFA. As a matter of fact, we already you know, are engaged in the effort of getting more subscribers to KPFA, which is sorely needed. So once again, thank you very much to KPFA and Roy Campanella and all of the technical support that we've received from you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Carlin. Okay, with no more speakers? Okay, I'd like to call for a 5-minute break. There's no objections?
And it is now 12:31, so we would come back at 12:36.
It's ambiguous. They don't report to us, no. Right. How does it exit? Right. But there should be some. At KQED, they meet jointly, for example. But, you know, they're always available. Advisory board meets with the directors. At KQED, yeah. I believe they meet jointly all the time. Yeah, we meet, you know, it's sort of like, what are they doing? It, you know, whatever it is, it needs to be clear. I mean, even if I don't like it, I'd be happy to live with whatever it is, even if I don't like it, as long as it's clear. You know what I mean? But it's sort of, because I didn't even know to be asking you. Yeah. You know, so it's just, the ambiguity is, you know, is problematic. I mean, I think, you know, it was Linda, I would have, should have, you know, I mean, you should have told us.